Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio from the International Film Festival in Venice. I'm here with Michel Rayac. Good afternoon.
Hello.
One of the two directors, actually, of the VR section. The VR section that this year has a new look, like, if we can say so, because, you know, the pandemic has hit everybody. So what did you choose to do for your section, for the VR one?
What's interesting, we've decided to go entirely virtual. That means we have no access point physically here in Venice. It's all virtual. We have built a virtual reality platform, a world, which is actually sort of a take on the VR island that we had the years before on Lazzaretto Vecchio. And it's a world you can access with a PC, but also with VR headsets. What's interesting is that before we even heard of the possibility of the pandemic, that was in October last year, after our last edition, Liz Rosenthal, my co-curator, and myself, we decided that we would go hybrid for this year. So we started working on a VR platform already then. And our plan was to have Lazzaretto Vecchio as a physical place to display the VR works, but also a platform a little bit like what we have now. Mm-hmm. So when the virus started its, you know, destroying our world, which was early March, it was at that moment we were ready to do the first workshop of the VR college here in Venice. We had to cancel 3 days before it happened. And in 3 days, we had a platform ready to do the workshop. So mm-hmm. the workshop happened, but virtually. So to us, it's not so much a surprise that we have to go this direction. And we're already starting to work on next year, where hopefully we will have Lazzaretto Vecchio again. And we will have exactly what we have also. Mm.
Why did you choose to do that? I mean, before you were forced to do that. What was the idea behind that?
The idea behind it is that in VR, in the world of virtual reality, the big thing that is happening now is social VR platforms. When VR started, many people criticized it, thinking it was something that isolates us from one another, that creates a kind of very deep addiction and cuts us off from the world. Now, what's happening, and it's been accelerated by the COVID crisis, is the apparition of social VR platforms where we can be together at the same time, doing things, meeting, working, playing inside a VR world. Mm-hmm. So we thought we need to represent this because this is going to be a very big part of our lives in the near future. So as a festival, we need to represent the creative side of those social platforms. Mm-hmm. That's why we felt we had to be present in the virtual world at the same time as the physical world. And I believe now more than ever that everything is going to go this way. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a little bit like what happens in the field of shopping. You can shop at a store, physical store near you, but you can also shop online, and many people mm-hmm. shop online. And you have the choice, online or physical, depending on how you feel or where you are. It's going to be the same thing with culture and entertainment. You're going to have options to access work, creative work, online, which you couldn't have accessed physically. Mm-hmm. In our case, for instance, the people who were able to see the VR works before were only the people who could come physically to Venice, which is a very small portion of the potential public. Now, with our platform, we can potentially make it available to just about anyone in the world. So it makes for an incredible expansion, and this is why we've called this year edition Venice VR Expanded.
Mm-hmm. Just to be the devil's voice, but last year, for example, I came to the Lazzaretto Vecchio, and most of the VR projects were like a physical interactive thing where you need to feel stuff on your body, you know. How can you have the same, or how you can promote those kind of VR experiences only through virtual and not through physical?
You can't.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you can't.
That's it. Okay.
You can't. And it is of course, you know, having a physical installation like the ones you experienced last year on Lazzaretto Vecchio is a very full experience, because you were able to mix perception, sensations with your physical senses, with your physical body, and it was augmented in a way by the virtual experience. We cannot do that anymore. And it's interesting that a lot of the artists who were ready to bring their project to Venice to show it to us for selection, and who were doing installation works, when the COVID hit, they had to redesign the physical side of their work to make it virtual. And it was a very difficult work, because for the reasons you said, because the lack of physical perception made it impossible to reproduce. So they had to rethink the interactive dimension of their pieces, so that inside the headset and inside the virtual dimension, you could still have an interaction, a presence that would be as close as possible to the physical installation. But that aspect is gone in the, you know, in the virtual
edition.
At least
for now.
It's for now. Yeah. This is why next year I really want that we have both. We can experience, for the happy few who will be able to come to Venice, experience the physical dimension as well, and the others have a full experience without the physical dimension.
Listen, I was talking with Pascal Dio the other day, and we were talking about the Venice Gay financing, where there is a lot of VR projects included. Scouting through the world of VR in the last year, which are, on your opinion, the new creative tendencies in that specific world? If there are any, I don't know.
There are, yes. I already mentioned one, which is a social platform with real-time interaction between people represented by their avatars. And we have selected, for instance, this year, three performance-based projects, which are basically theater pieces, and you are in the middle of the action, and the performers are represented by their avatars while they are physically located in all corners of the world. This is something that the technology allows now, and it's very exciting. We can do events like this on the second, the day of the opening of the festival. We had our own opening inside our VR platform. I can tell you it was one of the most amazing parties I've ever been to, because everyone, we were maybe 100 people in the same space, and we could trigger fireworks. Some of us were fishes floating in the air. I was a golden alien. Liz was a silver star. It was, everyone had the most incredible looks and interacting with each other, just like they would in a normal party. We had a bar with drinks, and we had, you know, DJ and everything. It's, I mean, you really need to experience it to understand how much it is something that is engaging. So I would say that is a big trend, and it's going to happen. Facebook is about to launch its own platform called Horizon, and the aim is that Facebook is going to progressively transfer everything you do on Facebook from your smartphone into the VR world. So that's going to be a big acceleration of, you know, the general audience having VR in their lives. Another thing that I am seeing is the incredibly sophisticated levels of interactivity. It used to be where the most advanced interactivity in VR was that you could pick up an object virtually. You could look at it from all sides, put it back. You could, you know, touch someone. Now you're seeing that interactivity can be done, for instance, through breathing. We have a couple of pieces where your breath and how you breathe in the piece is going to generate the world around you, and will completely, that world will change according to your breathing and your way of being. In the VPB market, there's a piece that is all about blowing and making movement with your hands to help a little girl achieve her mission. So the ways to interact are more and more diverse and finer. The position of your body, hand tracking is a new thing where you don't even need to hold anything in your hands, you know, the joysticks. You don't need them anymore. The headset tracks your hands in real time, and you can pick up a flower with your two fingers like this, just like you would in reality. These are things that are very exciting. And the third trend, I would say, is the awareness that artists in VR have today, that they can have an impact on people that is sometimes bigger and deeper than a flat film. By that I mean helping people to live better, helping people to meditate, helping people to have better sleep, helping people to have a better awareness of what happens in the world and get involved. This is something that VR can be very, very useful for. Mm-hmm. So I'm seeing a raising awareness that VR can be an amazing tool to basically change the world. You know, when we talk about cinema, everyone says films can change the world, and they can.
They can, absolutely.
Absolutely. I would say VR can even more when it will start being appropriated by people, just because it's so engaging. When I was at the opening, you know, the opening screening of the festival, I hadn't been in a theater for quite some time.
Oh yeah,
I know, but I mean, I realize I don't really look at films in a rectangle screen so much as I used to. I spent so much more time in a headset, and it felt so limited to me because it was just a rectangle, and it was like so small, and even though it was a big screen. And I realized, wow, my perception of a story or a story world is really changing because I'm spending so much time in 360 degrees that when I'm then all of a sudden a story is told just on a screen, regardless of how big the screen is, I feel limited. Mm-hmm. Where's the rest? You know, where's the rest of the world around me?
Yeah, of course. I mean, every single media has its own perception. And this, I mean, the VR is like the 360 thing that makes the real difference. Do you think so? You are saying that there is the building of a specific narrative for VR. I mean, the VR world is building up its own narrative in terms of how to tell a story, how to make you perceive a story, because the telling is also transmitting feelings and personal and general feelings. Is this the velocity in changing a little bit too much? I mean, isn't it too difficult to keep up? Because, you know, technology is evolving like every week, basically.
Every week. Absolutely.
So is it difficult for you also to keep track of this? Because, you know, it's very evolving fast.
It is difficult, but the community of VR makers is still a true community where people are supporting each other. There's a network. There's still a feeling of being in a family. And you can, the circulation of information and the sharing of information is incredible in the VR world. So I don't feel lost at any time because I get the information from the community, and it's quite an amazing feeling. The thing that is tricky, I think, and that we don't know yet, it's that it's truly a language that is being invented. I'll just give you an example. The one difference, I think, between the language of stories being told in VR, in an immersive 360 environment, as opposed to film, is that film is an art form that deals with time. It's the dimension that the director can play with. In VR, you play with time, but you can play with space. Yeah. And so that's the big difference, and we don't know yet still what that truly means. But the fact that you can provide a sensation to the viewer that he or she is inside the space and can fly, for instance, or grow giant or become very tiny, is a tool that a filmmaker doesn't have. Because the spectator of a film remains in his or her seat and doesn't get impacted physically by the film. So, you can be impacted, but it's not going to change your physical condition and where you are sitting. In VR, If you find yourself flying, you know, over the world at some point, dive into the sea and be underwater and then become a microscopic cell and then go back out and become big again, and then you can merge with someone else, and then you can do things that are completely incredible. And the strength of that is that your brain believes that it is true. That's the real strength.
And which is the most sometimes scary thing.
Absolutely.
The first impact is always that you want to stay a step behind, you know, because you don't want to plunge in that. But once you try to plunge in it, it's amazing.
I think it's our responsibility as, you know, people in this community of VR to make sure we invent this language aware of the risks. There are risks of addiction. There are risks of isolation. There are risks of just forgetting your physical needs. I mean, it's happening to me during this festival where I spend most of my time in the headset in the office that we have. And on the second, I was in the headset from 5 o'clock in the afternoon until 11 o'clock at night because we had panels, and then we had our opening and we had our party. I realized for those 6 hours I didn't drink, I didn't eat, I didn't stand up. I was just sitting at my desk traveling the virtual world. After that, I was really dizzy, and I thought, I haven't taken care of myself, time. And you can forget yourself in those worlds completely.
Yeah, because you just became your other self.
Your VR
self that has nothing to do with your regular physical one.
Exactly.
Well, now you're going to have your competition. You have your competition. When is it going to close?
The same time as the main competition on the 12th.
And, well, so thanks a lot. Thanks a lot to Michel Rayac. I'm eager to talk to you very soon to see how this world is still
evolving
and developing. And we look forward for next year's regular, let's say, if we can say so.
Let's say hybrid.
Hybrid version.
This year is Venice VR Expanded. Next year will be Venice VR Hybrid.
Yes. For next year. So thanks out to Michel Rayac, director, together with Liz Rosenthal of the VR section at the Venice Film Festival. I'm Angelo Cerbi for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.